everybody, and welcome to another year of Turbojugend Radio. It's another year of mayhem, another year of Turbojugend events, a wonderful year that's just starting. It's January, and I was thinking, okay, so this is an episode, what is it, 111, I think, or is it 12? But anyway, lots of episodes that I have done, what can I really offer new to the Jugend out there? And it's, I was traveling through the States last year, and I was going through Salt Lake City in Utah before I went to the Punk Rock Bowling Extravaganza. And I talked to a guy because I was so sort of interested in Salt Lake City, the Mormon capital of the world. And I figured, hey, if there's a Jugend out there in Salt Lake City, how can punk rock and the Truby Jugend really coexist with the Mormon religion? And I got my answers. And this is exactly what I'm going to present you on this episode. It's a, it's Turbojugend and Mormons, and in 20-minute discussion. So brighten up, brighten your spirits up, get smart, and learn how punk rock merges with the Mormon religion. So hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of Turbojugend Radio, and it's my great pleasure at this point to have an Irish bastard from a Turbojugend from Salt Lake City with me at this time. So happy to have you with me.
Thank you. Happy to be on.
So we our paths crossed for the first time in real life in Vegas at the Punk Rock Bowling, and I saw your city or chapter location or actually the name of your Turbojugend, and the Jugend is called the Latter Day Sinners. Is that how you put it?
Yep. Yeah, Latter-day that's the Salt Lake chapter.
Yeah. So I figured, okay, I gotta talk to this guy. What is that? Salt Lake City has always been a city that's kind of appealing to me drew interest to me. So maybe explain why you decided to call your chapter Latter Day Sinners rather than Salt Lake City, which have been the obvious or classic choice, so I might say.
Sure. Yeah, we're called the Latter-day Sinners because many know that Salt Lake City is kind of the headquarters for the Mormon Church, mm-hmm. their official name. It's the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Latter-day Saints.
Yeah. So they're called the Latter-day Saints. They have this big ass long name. People just call them Mormons, but yeah. That's why we went with Latter-day Sinners. A lot of people in the Jugend grew up in Utah, and if they didn't have Mormon backgrounds, they obviously were probably invited to church by their neighbors or grew up around a lot of Mormons. So,
Mormons is a thing that you like mostly, at least in from my neck of the woods, from Vienna, or Europe, you hear from them. They are almost like a weird tribe, but in fact, they're a religion. So they're not a tribe or anything. So, but we don't usually, and I think I'm speaking for most of the audience, usually you don't get in contact with Mormons. But how come Salt Lake City is it a world capital or such a big city where Mormons are, I don't know how many percent of the population? How did this develop?
It developed back in the 1800s. The Mormons, they all lived in Illinois and had their own commune, and they were kind of driven out of there. Mm-hmm. So they moved west to avoid the religious persecution and the issues that they had with the government at the time. And they all decided to come here. There's the famous thing, they just started going west. And the prophet at the time when they came over the hill, they said, oh, this is the place. This is where we're going to be. And they wanted to be isolated from everyone else to make sure that, they could do all their weird teachings and practice polygamy and all that fun stuff
Polygamy?
without any
Is that what they do,
persecution.
really?
Not anymore, but yeah, the polygamy was a practice for the Mormons, and that was kind of one of the issues that people had with them. Like, you can't do that. That's against the law in America. And they would fight back and say, you know, it's our religious right, and God told us that we're supposed to be polygamists. So.
All right, that's an interesting angle. I've not thought about that. I mean, if you'd live in a moment, or at least some people, okay, I don't want to generalize it, but if you live in the moment, polygamy might be an interesting thing. But if you think for generations, isn't that unhealthy for mankind if you just fuck around with the same people all the time?
I would think so. But I'm sure they didn't know that back then because of science, you know, but
Yeah. Or maybe they did it because they didn't want to. Well, no, they no. If I think about it, if you only fuck with the same people, it's worse than polygamy because you spread your sperm, right? So it was
yeah.
a yeah. But it's interesting. It doesn't come across that strict or that hard for like. At least the polygamy aspect of it. What in general is part of the Mormon religion in general? What how do you with the if I mean up today, well, how do they live? How do they behave? And then we can actually talk about your relation over or your time in with the Mormon culture.
Yeah, Mormons are a very tight-knit, they're a very family values community. They don't do drugs, they don't drink alcohol, they don't drink coffee.
Ooh.
I know caffeine is kind of a gray area, but they have this thing called the Word of Wisdom, where, you know, God came down and said tobacco is bad, alcohol is bad, illegal drugs,
Red Bull is bad.
no coffee. Yeah, which is funny because some Mormons still, you know, drink energy drinks and all that. But yeah, they're a very tight-knit community. They're known for their welfare programs. That's how they they're just really friendly. They have you've probably seen missionaries out there. They're one of those churches known to send people out on missions when they're like 19 years old to try converting people.
You mean
And
this door-to-door thing?
exactly. And you know, sometimes they'll go to a lot of these countries. South America is a really big area where they'll go down and, you know, offer this religion in exchange for welfare, you know, for different things like that, for struggling people. And like they like doing that to, you know, hey, we're helping you out, and they kind of try getting people to come into church and convert them and baptize them and all that fun stuff. So
Would you have to pay for that? Is it a thing if you want to be a Mormon, you have to pay money to the church and they do whatever with it? Because I heard they have a pretty big, is it a temple or a big building in Salt Lake City?
yeah, they have temples where they do their different ordinances and stuff. But yeah, Mormons are expected to pay 10% of their income. It's called tithing.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're expected to pay 10% of it. If you don't pay that, I mean, that, you know, that usually means you're not in good standing, and that could affect your temple recommend. It's like a, you know, a card you get to where you're allowed to go into the temple and do different
So
things.
if it's crowded, you have to be in the back and everything. Is there like all sorts of mechanisms? I mean, think about the Catholic Church deal. In at least in Germany, Austria, they charge you money and they just take it off your salary immediately.
Oh, really? They
Oh
do that?
yeah. That's why I'm out. I mean, don't get me started with the Catholic Church. A topic for another podcast. If somebody out there listening once to the Catholic Church and the Truby, you can hop on and call me just like the Irish bastard did. So okay, I get it. So it's basically a religion that is, but it comes across very friendly, as you mentioned. They are friendly people, which is not bad in a world like this. If you look out there in real world plus cyberspace, bunch of assholes. And John Fisher and Rob Manfred, I had to drop this in. Also two big assholes, baseball related, had to do it. So tell me, what is your relation with the with the Mormon religion? What your personal experiences?
Well, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and I grew up in a Mormon family. My dad was originally Catholic, and he had met some Mormons in his early 20s, I think. He was drinking a lot and partying a lot, and he wanted something different. He thought that, hey, I'm going down a bad way, and I guess he ran into these Mormons at the right time, and they converted him, and he went on a mission, like how missionaries do. But yeah, I grew up Mormon in Phoenix. There's a little bit of Mormons everywhere, but it's not like how Salt Lake is. So when my parents divorced and my dad, he moved up to Salt Lake. When I moved here, it was this big culture shock because most of the suburban and outer parts of Salt Lake City have a really high percentage of Mormons. There's usually a church every couple of blocks. So
Oh, really?
it was a big culture shock being like the only Mormon kid in school to a lot of kids in school are Mormon, and which house is not Mormon and which one is. So it was a
Okay, so how
different
did
thing.
everyday life, it's interesting. How did everyday life change for you? Is it like moving to Salt Lake City? Is it, I mean, you went there as a kid, so bars, I think bars and stuff are not of any interest at this point. But how is daily life in school? Is that how different is it? Or in general, doing sports or doing whatever kids do, is that a big change from regular US schools?
There wasn't too big of a difference with school. I was in Boy Scouts. So Boy Scouts was different because in Utah, it's not this way anymore. But Utah, the church kind of took over, catering the Boy Scouts. So you would go to, a Mormon church, and they, have their hymns and prayers and all this other stuff before you actually go and do Boy Scout stuff. So I thought it was really strange. When I lived in Arizona and Colorado, Boy Scouts aren't really affiliated with any religion. Sometimes you might meet up at a church, maybe a Catholic church or something, but it's not really, you're not singing religious songs or prayers or doing, listening to someone talk about Jesus before going into a Boy Scout meeting, So I noticed that was different. There's another thing here in middle school and high schools called seminary, where the church pretty much builds like a little building outside of every middle school and high school, and kids can sign off to pretty much one of their classes is a religious class where they leave the school for one part of the day and
Get
go
it.
and do religious studies there. So,
All right, get it. So how as you were growing up in Salt Lake City, then how did you eventually not only become a True Beyougan member, but got, I'm asking myself, how did you actually develop your taste in music and pop or rock culture? How did this happen?
I started playing guitar in third grade, so I started playing music at an early age. I mean, when I was young, I listened to a bunch of, Beatles and stuff like that, a lot of classic rock,
Which is okay for Mormon standards, is it or not?
most of the time, a lot of Beatles and Cream, and then, middle school, I got more into AC/DC and Led Zeppelin and Iron Maiden, stuff like that. So middle school, I started. I met a friend in middle school, and he was listening to, Dio and Iron Maiden and stuff like that. And at the time, I was, listening to Green Day or, stuff that more, kids that age would listen to. And I played guitar, so when I heard stuff like, Iron Maiden, Metallica, Dio, stuff like that, like a lot of the metal music, I was drawn to it because of the guitar work, and I want to play music like that. So it kind of grew throughout middle school and high school. My dad was pretty strict. Not all Mormon parents would be like this, but my dad, he broke a lot of my CDs, a lot of my Black
Oh,
Sabbath
really?
and Judas Priest stuff in middle
You
school and
broke
high
it.
school.
Well.
Yeah, I used to have band T-shirts, and I kind of lived a double life. I would have to dress one way at home. Sometimes I would like change my shirts after school to go home because my dad didn't like,
All
Iron
right.
Maiden, Metallica shirt stuff. He would like throw that stuff in the trash.
Do you
So,
ha so you did have to hide? Is it hide it as well?
yeah.
Oh shit! Shit. Okay.
So that
So.
kind of that and a few other things kind of caused me to have a little bit of a religious crisis, as maybe when I was 14, 15 years old. So.
So also in school, when people noticed that you were actually, were you dressing in let's say Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, or Black Sabbath t-shirts in school?
Yeah.
How was the reaction then? It's like, did they tell you to take it off, or were
No.
it upset?
No, I never had any issues like that at school, where they thought the shirts were inappropriate or anything. Most even before then, most of my friends were not Mormon. I had a couple of friends, in the church. But most of the time, I just naturally gravitated towards hanging out with a lot of the non-Mormon kids. So,
Okay, get it. Is there any Mormon music that's super popular with Mormons? Is that Mormon bands, or is there anything like a music culture within the religion? Like okay bands for them?
not that I can think of, there are larger bands out there that have Mormons in them, like the Killers and Neon Trees and stuff like that, but they're not Mormon music.
Okay, get it.
A lot of it is, your Tabernacle Choir Mormon hymn kind of stuff, but there are I know there's Mormon pop groups and country groups out there, but it's not really a big thing with all Mormons.
Yeah, okay. So not knowing about your childhood within the church and your gravitating towards music or punk and rock and metal music, how what was it eventually the point when you said or turned your or I don't even know, did you ever turn your back on the religion, or was there a certain point where you said, okay, I've had enough of it, this is not part of my life, I mean I at least not my personal chosen life?
Yeah, so I had an older sister. She's 2 years older than me, and she was a lot more involved with gay rights, and she was very anti-war at the time in 2003, 2004. We were in the war on terror and over in Iraq and doing all this stuff post 9/11 US, and it was a lot of stuff that I obviously didn't agree with that war either, from a lot of the information I got from my sister and my mom. My parents were divorced, but my mom's a lot more on the liberal and leftist side of things, and my dad's very right wing and conservative. So me and my sister got more of a outer view of things rather than just. Because a lot of Mormons are conservative. A lot of Mormons are very, everything the government does, you must obey the law. They're very against, being it, which is funny because of how they were persecuted by the government originally. But Mormons are very strict to, this is God's country. America is here because of God. We have to put our faith and our trust in our leaders. So they kind of more blindly follow things. And me and my sister were not that way, but my sister, she used to wear pins, over to church meetings, if you don't believe in gay marriage, don't get one, things like that. And a lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people were disrespectful and rude to her, and that kind of caused me to start questioning people's beliefs in the religion. So
Yeah. At what age did you eventually quit the can you sign out of this religion? Did in a way? Or are you
yeah.
just walking out basically and or not
Oh,
paying?
yeah, you can walk out, but you're still on the church records. I actually excommunicated myself maybe 8 years ago. But you have to write in and say, I want my name and my information removed from the records of the church. I'm no longer wanting to be a member. But I quit believing in the church a long time before that. It was when I was in high school. What was I gonna say? Oh, I would still go to church because of my dad. You know, I didn't want to upset him or make him mad, but I was kind of living in high school at that point. I was living a double life. I was going and, you know, partying and drinking and smoking pot and hanging out with my friends, you know, sneaking out of the house at night, and then just pretending, you know, I was a different person in the daytime or when I was at home. So.
Yeah, I get it. So, at one point, did you decide to join Jubi-Jugend, and how's rock and roll life in general in Salt Lake City? Is there a base for that, or is it a more limited city for dive bars, concerts, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's funny because I wanted to start a Jugend because I didn't know there was a Salt Lake one. I had heard about a Latter-day Sinners, but I never met anyone. I wasn't sure if it was an active chapter. And this was maybe 9 or 10 years ago. I was bar hopping downtown and I was kind of walking home drunk and I had my punk jacket on, you know, it's all the spikes and stuff. And these guys are like, "Hey, I like your vest." And I look over and they're all in, you know, the coots, the Turbo Negro coots. And I was like, "I've been looking for you guys because I've liked Turbo Negro for a long time." And I knew about the Jugend, and I'd seen them at Punk Rock Bowling. The first 2 years I went to Punk Rock Bowling, I wasn't in the Jugend, so I just didn't know where to find them in Salt Lake. So I you know, they invited me for some drinks and we hung out at the bar and I went back to Ryan. He was the president. I went back to his place and crashed over there. And then we became friends after that. And I ended
Nice.
up joining the chapter. So,
So
but
cool.
yeah, to answer your question about rock and roll, it's pretty normal here. We have a lot of, you know, punk and metal shows come through Salt Lake. It's pretty healthy. There's a pretty good turnout with them. So.
Yeah, but would there be any reaction or a different reaction from your stereotypical US city when you wear sailor hats and lipstick? If you're doing that, or if anybody does that, because I had some guests from, well, from St. Petersburg and Moscow back years ago before the whole shit started, and they told me that the homophobia is really big there in Russia, understandably, and we know those people there. But is it sort of like a thing if you wear makeup and do ass grabbing in public, or is it just like not gonna be an issue?
It's a little more passive here, but yeah, you get a lot of dirty looks in public. You know, I used to have a big mohawk, so every time I would get on the train, you know, you have a lot of the Mormons in the business suits that are working downtown, and they sometimes they won't glare at you, but they seem really uncomfortable being around you. So I've
You mean
seen that
they have
with,
fear? They fear you? Or are
yeah.
ooh.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that, but yeah, they're like that with you know, the gay community too. A lot of the time around Pride, they tend to avoid going downtown and saying, "Don't go downtown. There's Pride. There's a lot of gay stuff going on, so just stay home this weekend." Things like that, so.
All right, that's how they roll. But then again, it's not a strict thing, but people act in a certain way. What has Turbo Negro ever played in Salt Lake City? Do you know?
They did. I looked it up, but they played back in like nine, I think it was 1993 or 94. So long, long time ago. They played at, it wasn't even called In the Venue. There used to be a venue here called In the Venue, but it used to be a different name in the early 90s, but they played there. I looked it up, so.
So, would you say, looking at Turbo Negro, or anything that any parallel, parallel, funny parallels from Jubi-Jugend and the Mormon culture, or by the looks, or anything that Jubi-Jugend or Turbo Negro would have? like hats or I don't know, Tony Sylvester's look or anything? Or is there anything you can, I don't know, not make fun, but provoke people with wearing a, because they have similarities with Mormon culture, anything, any, things that are both happening in the Tuba Yugan or in the band or with the culture?
Not anything I can really think of off the top of my head.
So there's
Not.
no makeup, no glitter, no jeans, no sailor hats, obviously. Maybe the positive community vibe. We can agree on that.
Yeah, most people in our chapter don't get super dressed up, but yeah, I've gone out in public with like the Hank eyes before, and I've worn some glitter and stuff here and there when I'm performing or playing concerts, so
Yeah, that's actually a good point too. You have your own band. Tell me about that.
yeah, I play in it's kind of a folk punk band. It's called Captain Daniels and the Sunnybrook Sailors. I play mandolin and banjo in that band. I play in another band called the Utah County Swillers, and they're like more of a trucker country punk band. I'm like the youngest one in the band. It's a lot of older guys. They grew up in the 70s in south of Salt Lake. It's called Utah County, and that county has Provo. It's
Provo, yeah.
the most Mormon area in the world, but they have a lot of songs. I Want to Be a Polygamist, Old Joe, things like that, that are very sacrilegious songs, kind of making fun of the religion.
Okay.
But they grew up in Utah County in the 70s, where you're not allowed to buy beer on Sundays, where bars aren't open on Sundays, things like that. So it used to be very religious down there, where you couldn't,
Yeah,
If you're
getting.
not Mormon, you can't go out and just like buy a beer, things like that. So,
So is it a country punk band? Is it a mixture between country and punk, or is it more classic country music?
it's more country sounding with a lot of, punk lyrics, a lot of offensive stuff. So, I play mandolin in that band. It's usually mandolin, guitar, upright, bass, and drums. But, they do a lot of old-time country covers and trucker songs and religious stuff, anything that's kind of making fun of Mormonism, that it's usually in there in the lyrics somewhere.
All right, cool. I mean, here I go. I mean, since I always have a cream puff, a song at the end of the podcast, I think I've gotta go with your band then, right?
Yeah, you could
It's a
do
given.
Polygamist by Utah County Swillers. You can find that on Spotify or
Yeah,
anywhere
got
else.
it.
So,
Yeah, I mean, I thank God this time I don't have to announce the cream puff. So here you go. That's gonna be our cream puff for the episode. One last question before we end our conversation is going back to Tuba Yugan and then the Mormons, is there any, if you have to pick one Tuba song that somehow is applicable to Mormons, what song would that be?
Oh man. I would say Just Flesh. That's what I would say to, all the Mormon government leaders here who tried to block gay marriage and spent millions of dollars on, trying to ban that and go against gay rights, trans rights, things like that. It's Just Flesh.
Exactly. So it's equal, right? It's male, female, it's just flesh. Is that
Yeah.
right? I would can't come up with, I would also thought about that maybe with Bad Mongo, because that's usually if you're like fucking around within your community all the time, that's what eventually be your breed, right? It's not gonna be a healthy
Yeah.
one. It's a bad Mongo and bad taste in this comment, but okay, here we go. So cool. I thank you so much for your time. Irish
Yeah.
Bass, or by the way, your what are your name? Irish Bass, or why is that? How do you come up with it?
I'm a McIntyre, so my family's from Ireland. So
Got
my
it.
great grandpa immigrated here from Ireland. So, as you can tell, my relationship with my dad's not the best. So I just call myself the Irish bastard. So,
Okay. Cool. So we got that covered. So again, thank you very much for taking your time and explaining the Mormon culture, your life, and your relation with for your personal relation with the religion and the aspect of True Beacon in Salt Lake City. Yeah, cool. I mean, I wish I can at one point visit you there, and we'll do stuff. And I have a feeling that eventually it will happen, and
Yeah,
we'll
feel free to
be.
come by anytime.
Yeah, I will do that. So thanks again. Thank you for your time, and happy to meet again. Kick ass and keep Salt Lake City a very good and friendly place.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
On long and cold winters in Cologne, the gay capital of the world, it can get somehow boring and lazy on weekends, and this is exactly the time when I go into my record collection and I'm sorting through all the pieces and all the old pieces which I've not heard for decades. And just a few days ago I came across a record by one of the two most famous, popular, I have to add, punk rock bands in Germany, and came across a band that goes by the name of the Tote Hosen, the Dead Pants, or Dead Trousers, however you want to put it. They've been around for ages, and this is actually the first punk rock band from Germany that I came across in my life. I was given a music cassette to listen or to be able to copy overnight from a friend. So I didn't know anything about that punk rock music, really. I was at the tender age of, what was it? Maybe 11 or 12 years old. So I got this this record, and I figured out, hey, why don't I share this with you? I mean, I understand that German Jugends probably are familiar with the song and, of course, with the band. But still, it's a good piece of German old-school punk music from the early 80s. The band is called the Toten Hosen, a band from Düsseldorf, Germany, with their famous pop culturally relevant, I might say, singer Campino. And it was one of their first album. It's a song that I figured I wanna share with you, because it's a pretty fast and pretty upbeat positive song. The song is called Liebe Spieler, and it's about a horse, a horse that runs in a horse race. Name of this horse is Liebe Spieler, and well, the story is kind of easy. Singer Campino of the Tote Hosen, he bets on the horse and it loses. Well, it's a short story, even shorter, but a cool song that I would like to present to you, especially for all you guys living outside of Germany, because the other ones might know it or should know it. At least the older dudes and dudettes, they probably know it. But maybe, and I would think that most of you guys out there who are not familiar with German punk rock might not know it, and maybe they have not come across this Tote Hosen song, which you should be enjoying to the max. The song again is called Liebe Spieler from the Tote Hosen from the early 80s. Knock yourself out and enjoy that song.
Hey, heute Yeah.